and no one else. That's what matters in life, that communication with God and knowing that he loves you, not because of you, but in spite of you. And that's the message that this world needs. That's the love that this world needs. And today, we got so much stuff going on and so much politics, so many rules, laws, things that's being ignored in this life. But one of the things I've learned in life is we are the answer and we are the body of Christ. I remember Tupac once said, I ain't got the answers, but I'm yelling to somebody who got the answers, because I'm just yelling because I'm just letting you know it's a problem out here. Well, guess what? We are the answers. Hold on. You are the answer. Amen. And when you get that revelation, when you get an understanding that, oh, God got me here for a reason. And that reason is to show the earth what heaven is. But the thing about it is, it must be in your heart first before you give it to anybody else. The title of this message is Taking Out the Fires of Life. I remember I've had a cousin play with fire, and you can play with a little fire, put it out, and all kids don't play with fire, it's bad. I'm not here to tell any deviant stories of me, but of my cousin though, they kept on playing with it, kept on playing it. But then one day that fire got to the curtains. Then it got to the other curtains. And then it started to spread. But the thing about it is, we play with fire all the time. What's fire? Things that come out of our mouths. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you say to your children. Be careful what you say to others. You can't take that back. And once that fire, just like the fires, the blessings as well. Yep. You can't take that back either. But this is one of the things I've learned. You can't quench that fire with the love of God. Amen. And one of the things I've learned in life is this. God wants us to be able to learn how to extinguish fires correctly. I remember Miles was working on a job, and there was a couple other members that was working here as well. And they taught me how to take out a fire, and they placed this big, you know how they do it, Miles?
Yeah, yeah.
They had this big old fire, and you could feel the heat and the pressure of it. And they want you to scoot up to it to take it out. And so I had to take out the pin. And he was like, well, keep going, it ain't out. And you have to keep pressing it until that whole thing is out. This is the crazy part. 2 weeks later, and if Donovan was here, he attested to this too. 2 weeks later, I'm sitting eating me a little sandwich. Next thing you know, a fire just blew up in the back of me in the kitchen at Cardinal Ritter. Remember that? Next thing you know, I'm like, oh my God, the training 2 weeks ago. I'm thinking it's unnecessary. I'm thinking it. I took the little thing out, took out that whole fire. And the fire captain came and they did a whole article about me and everything. It was beautiful. But this is the thing. If God is preparing you to take out a fire, it's because he loves you.
Yeah.
Anything he's prepping you for, preparation equates love.
That's good.
Prevention equates love. See, like I said, prevention don't look sexy. It don't look glamorous. What look glamorous is you jumping like Die Hard with the Vengeance, you catch somebody at the end, and you pull them back up. But what happened if you talk to that person and he don't even go to the edge to get jumped off of?
Hello.
What happened if God is tapping you saying, you can't sleep at night and you wonder what? Maybe I'm trying to tell you something. Maybe I'm trying to tell you to make a call to that brother or sister that's hurting. Have anybody, raise your hand if you know of somebody or know of somebody that knows somebody that have committed suicide. Raise your hand. Every hand is up. That means, guess what? It's all of our problem. The problem we got, no, that's somebody else's problem. No, it's our problem. If Miles hurt, I'm hurting. If my sister that just come to church and I don't know you, if she hurt, I'm hurt. We got to get back to sympathy, empathy, learning to love when other people are hurting.
Yep. Come on, bro.
It's not just about your forward no more. It's about the love of God that he wants to spread. And it's bigger than me. It's bigger than you. Amen?
Amen.
This is a story of King David's son. You're gonna watch how fire, the evolution of a fire and how it happens. Amen. This is Samuel 14:25. Now in all Israel, there was no one who was praised as much as Absalom for his good looks. From the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, there was no blemishes in him. And when he cut the hair off of his head at the end of the year, every year, he cut it because it was heavy on him. When he cut it, he weighed the hair of his head at the 200 shekels according to the king's standard. To Absalom were born three sons, and one daughter name was Tamar. She was a wonderful and beautiful appearance. And Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem. But did not see the king's face. Therefore, Absalom sent for Joab to send him to the king. But he would not come to him. And when he sent again, the second time, he would not come to him. And so he said to his servants, "See, Joab's field is near mine. He has barley there. Go and set it on fire." And Absalom's servants set the field on fire. So he said to his servants, "See, Joab's field is near mine. And he has barley there, and he set it on fire." Okay. Then verse 31, "Then Joab arose and came to Absalom's house and said to him, 'Why have your servants set my field on fire?' And Absalom answered Joab, 'Look, I sent you saying, come here so that I may send you to the king to say, why have I come from Geshur? It would be better for me to be there still. Now, therefore, let me see the king's face. But if there is iniquity in me, let me be excused."
Executed,
I'm sorry. It was no iniquity in him. He went to the king. And guess what David did? He kissed him and blessed him. And guess what? He didn't have to set no more fires. There's fires being set all around this nation. And the reason why is because nobody is seeing the king. Oh, see, y'all ain't hearing me. No, see, some of y'all seen your mamas, but you ain't seen the king. Some of you all seen your husband and wife act a fit. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about going to see the king. The king is the only one that has the authority to say your sins are forgiven. And when you walk around with condemnation, when you walk around with bitterness, when you walk around with distress, when you walk around with anguish, because you know you've been done wrong, you know you've been hurt, you know your family done you wrong, you know you could be in a better place. There is Yahshua that we sung about today that says, guess what? It doesn't matter what they did. It matters about what I did to remove every iniquity from your heart. And that's the place where God wants us healed. Amen.
Amen.
The first thing we have to do is to get help. A lot of people, we so stuck in pride, man.
Yeah.
And just to say, you know what, after I still sprayed that place down, guess what? I called 911. We had somebody else call 911. But we got help. We got some little rodents running around here. I ain't getting up in these holes to go get that raccoon. We called and we got
in. Don't bry that window. You see that? That's a blown head gasket. Stuff that I can't see. God has set somebody in your life to show you things you can't see. But because we're so insecure, we don't want to get the help. I'm preaching today. I don't care. We want to say we got it. You ain't got it. Some of y'all need some counseling. Some of y'all need to bring your family in for counseling. This room ain't the people that go in here weak. These are the strongest people that go in this room. The strongest. Why? Because they're able to say, Lord, we always see this. I won't lay down my burdens. But you ain't laid them down. You lay them down to your flesh. You saying to Joel Lopez, I got this. No, you don't. Listen, until you get help. And let me show you how shrewd the enemy is. He wants to distance you from the body of Christ.
Yeah.
He does things to make you seem the illusion that somebody is against you when they're not. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because he just wants you to keep your problems to yourself. Yeah. The first rule of the art of war is to kill communication.
Yeah.
If you can't talk to, what was the thing about Absalom? He couldn't talk to the king. What do your soul need every day? I don't care if you the highest ranked Christian in this place. Every day you need to talk to the king.
Yeah.
To find out your sin. Oh yeah, I got saved when I was 8 years old. Yeah, you got saved when you was 8 years old, but your mind don't know. Your mind need renewing every single day.
Yeah.
I ate cheeseburger yesterday. Yeah, but if you don't eat it today, you're gonna faint. It's okay. Everybody say, it's okay for me to get help.
It's okay.
A brother that came, one of the stories that illustrate this the best is somebody that tried to, Satan, I believe, put a wedge between us because of correction. You know, don't deny the prophets in your life. Okay, that wasn't no amen right there. Don't deny the prophets in your life. It's going to be some fake ones. I ain't talking about them. I'm talking about the ones that have shown you love. And you know that they love you. It was a person that I used to buy knives from this guy. He used to come on my front porch. And we used to kick it and have fun. And then he started hanging out with these GDs and stuff. I said, bro, come on, man. You know not to hang out with them. You're a straight A student. You're a nerd. What you doing hanging out with these? It don't even make sense. Tariq. No, I'm sorry. But he hang out with them, and he got mad at me. He was a yes. He came on my parents' porch. Yes, sir. No, sir. He knew all the right manners. But guess what happened? I said, bro, don't hang around them, man. His last words with me in anguish. You don't tell me what to do. I go where I want to go. You ain't perfect. Did I say it was perfect? I just feel like it's not good. 2 weeks later, a drive-by happened. He's the only one to get shot. I couldn't even bring myself to go to Austin Lane to see him. Because I know I was going to hear a message that this is God's will. No, it's not. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. God has come so we can have life and have it more abundantly.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Dr. Brownridge came in here. He was saying that because of the body, and he got corrected. He went to the doctor, and they found cancer in him, and they removed it. But guess what? He obeyed a prophet that was in his life that told him to go. God's love is prevention, baby. Think about this. Before you came on the earth, he made the water. He made the sun. He made the trees. He made all these things. Then guess what? You came at the end. Because the last shall be first and the first shall be last. He was prepping for you. He created all this. It says, when he created you, he said, this is really good. Amen. Why? Because he had to prepare you to eat. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people what? But in the multitude, oh, hold on. Oh, I thought you just mean we need one counsel. No, not just me, baby. We got mothers of the church that some of the young women need to go to. We got mechanics that some of the people, we got older men that some of the people need to go to. You got so many counselors in your life. You know what? If you fight this fight by yourself, the enemy is double teaming on you, and it's not fair. Let me break it down like that. I remember used to watching wrestling with my dad, and Hulk Hogan used to be at the arena, and we used to watch him. He used to be shaking his hand like, please tap me in, brother. And the guy be getting beat up, mollywop. We know it's fake. But the thing about it is, God is shaking his hand and said, tag me. You ain't got to fight this yourself. I've seen people buy cars. I'm like, bro, we got a mechanic right here. He could have went to go. He could have helped you. I ain't want to be a bother. You have not because you ask not. Amen. I don't even make a purchase before I ask an expert about that purchase. Even in married. Yeah. Had a brother named Elder Summers. He got married the same month and day I got married, August 19th. But he been married 50 years. I was married 0 years. Maybe God's trying to link me up with this brother so he can tell me a little bit of something. For 2 years, he was just pouring knowledge. He said, brother, I can't help myself. I just got, every time you ask me, I just got to let you know everything it is about marriage. I said, keep on living. That's God using you. Because I'm having some trouble these first 2 years. I was getting mollywopped. I had anger issues, flipping over tables when I didn't get things my way. Until I had a person. And guess what? And my father, I see him doing it great for 30-something years. But it's a tag team match. It's a village. Amen. This little phone making us leave the village.
Yeah.
I'll just Google it.
Yeah.
I remember I went to go take one of my good friends to swim. And all the while we going down to the swimming pool, he on his phone. What you doing, bro? I'm just Googling how to swim. I said, listen, that's cool. When you get in that water, you gonna find out there's a difference between you reading about swimming and actually doing. And when we did, he's like, man, that Googling helped me. I said, I know. It's the difference between you reading the word and putting it to action. I don't believe God read. Why? Because you ain't putting the word into action. Go ahead and forgive somebody that can't forgive you back. And watch how God move in your life. Some of y'all ain't swimming. Y'all drowning. When I told him to kick. When I told him, listen, you cannot drown if you hold water in your belly because it's like a beach ball. And he did. He just held water. I said, now empty the air out of you. He floated down like a brick. I said, one of the things you have to understand, if you keep water in you, you can't go down. Because the air will keep you back up. It keep you buoyant. The same thing with the word of God. Oh yeah, I know how to bring it around. When the word is in you, you can't go down. It's something that's going to come up that says, I shall live. I cannot die. God is for me. Even though a righteous man falls 7 times, he gets back up again. This person didn't treat me stink. He treat me wrong. I'm going to look at him and I'm going to cuss him out. And then he walks by me and the word of God said, I said, what are you doing with you? We going to act shady towards this person. What are you doing? Hey, how you doing? Have a blessed one. I love you, bro. I thought you was going to act. He said, no, the word of God is in you, Wendell. You can't. You a slave to righteousness.
Yes.
And it's the best place to be, y'all. Instead of being a slave to sin, a slave to iniquity, whatever that mind tell you to do, you just do it. But when it's in your heart, you know better. Every child of God knows better. Amen?
Amen.
The next thing we have to do to put out the fire is make room for God. One of the things they told us, don't open up any windows. In my logic, yeah, we got to open up the windows. No, when you do, you open up the fire. Everything he told me was different. And the same thing with God. Okay, I'm struggling. I need to hold back. No, that's when you need to give. Oh, I'm going through it. No, that's, he said, my ways are not your ways, Wendell. My thoughts are not your thoughts. He says, when I speak to you, you must disenfranchise what you heard from the world.
Amen.
This is one thing I've learned about life. Is God starts you, especially when you come into this thing, as an empty vessel. And the thing about it is, God wants to place all these peanut butter, crackers, nutrition, good things for you inside here. But this is what happens. With the old man, we got all this stuff. God can't put nothing in you if you're already clogged up with your own knowledge.
Yeah.
We want to get filled up with God.
Yeah.
Some of the worst sessions I have is, you're going to tell me what you're going to keep doing. And you ain't going to do nothing new. You might as well not come. You must, guess what? Take out. Listen. I met this beautiful lady named Keisha Thompson. But before she was Keisha Thompson, she was Keisha Pierce. Over 17 years ago. But guess what? There was another person that I had to remove so Keisha can come.
Uh-oh.
We want to keep this and bring God too. No, you ain't going to bring both of them. I had to empty out. You know what? An emptying don't look nice sometimes. One of my emptying out was me getting fired so God can give me a better career. He wants you to empty out your pride so you can come to counseling and get broke free. Everything God wants for you, there must be an emptying first.
Yeah.
And when we empty, guess what? God doesn't say, okay, now get ready because I'm going to bring you a heartbreak. No. When he empties you, he fills you with his best. Amen? The Bible says this in Matthew 6:9-16. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. For the patch pulls away from the garment and tears. And the tears is made what? Worse. Some people come into the body of Christ and they try to put the old man with the new man and they have a harder walk with God.
Amen.
Don't you know that you're not saved now by your works? It's by his works. So don't beat yourself up. These miracles and promises you wanted to see, God told you the promise because he's going to do the promise. He didn't tell you the promise because you're going to do it. Abraham went and he was about to sacrifice his son until what?
The ram
in the bush.
Mm-hmm.
This is what God's trying to teach us. You don't have to toil for your miracle. You don't have to tear the cross down for your miracle. You have to receive that. Listen, first, I don't know. He told his son, I don't know. God's going to provide some way. But until then, we're going to keep walking. But this is the thing. God didn't want his son. God wanted Abraham's heart. Some of us, we grab so hard to the promise that the promise is choking us out. God says, let it go so I can fill you up. Let it go. You worrying about your children ain't gonna bring it better. You worrying about the situation that you can't control? Think about what you say. I can't control it. So why are you worrying? Yeah. Empty it. Say, look, every person I've seen come to the altar, come to get prayed for, and they truly empty it, guess what happens? God fills it. Every single time. And you know this in your spirit too. Number 17. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskin, or else the what? Wineskin break, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskin. And guess what? And both are what?
Preserved.
When God does this thing for you, guess what happens? He shuts it. You can throw this in water, can't water, nothing can penetrate it. It's preserved. When Satan does it, he leaves you open, he leaves you vulnerable, and anything can get in here. He don't want to protect you. He don't want to protect you or your side piece. You're unprotected. But when you do it God's way, you got a seal covering over you.
Come on.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Wonder why you going here today? Because of this. He's preparing you to be a pioneer.
That's good.
This is what this is about. Every pioneer experience I've ever had filled lonely. Every pioneer experience you ever had to do something new, you may get some backbite from your family. Why are you doing it this way? We've always done it this way. Tradition of man make the word of God of no effect, the Bible says. Some of y'all, the pioneer is not just doing something, it's saying something. So, you know what? When I have marriage couples come in, I always get a pioneer. You know what that pioneer says first? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
A pioneer in Christ is a person that's willing to empty themselves out first and let it fill in. All of us should be pioneers of Christ. Amen? Mm-hmm. And when we are, one of the things I learned is the Bible says He makes me lie down in green pastures.
Okay.
He leads me beside the still waters. We want still waters, but we don't want to be first. When I first got up to preach, people didn't know. I was so nervous. It was really anxiety that was hitting me. But guess what? God took control. Because I was like, God, you want me to do this? And this is the thing I fear the most. Some of the things you get attacked on the most is the things that you're supposed to do.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good, man.
It's all through history. From Moses not being able to have a stuttering problem. If you track down every great person in history, the area where they was denied the most is where God wants them to promote them the most. Why? Because he wants you to know, you ain't get here by your flesh. I brought you here, amen?
Amen.
Oh, we ain't going back to that mess. God wants us to know this. In being a pioneer for your family, and being a pioneer for your loved ones, he has called you to take out the fire. And I've told this story many a times where this guy, he said he was going to spray up this place. He was going to shoot it up because they treated him wrong. And I was like, Jesus. And he got the artillery to do it. But guess what? God was calling me that day to be the pioneer, to go over his house and to talk him down from going to do this violent act. But that's there. I remember the Holy Spirit told me to call this person. I called him and talked to this brother for a whole hour. He said, you know what? I didn't tell you. I wasn't past the window back this time. I was just window. And he said, you know what, Wendell? I had a knife, and I
when you called me and I was going to slit my wrist. But these words, this prayer that you had, let me know God is real. And he put the knife down. We want Absalom to stop burning, but we don't want to talk to Absalom. We want our communities to be better. But so let's go back to Job Corps and talk to the kids. Let's actually do the things that make it better. We can preach, we can pray, we can shout, we can do all the great things. But this is the prep work to go out into the field and do what God has called us to do. Amen? This is what swimming looks like. And when the road gets dark, when you can't see no more, look to the light. One of the best instructions I got from in the YMCA, I said, well, what happened if you, because I like going in the ocean and I get kind of deep in there sometimes. I love when the waves come and crash. And that's just my little thing. And I remember that the guy told me, he said, listen, if you ever get turned around window over and over, he said, look to the light. He said, I said, yeah, but I'm going to be swimming to the light. He said, no. He said, because you don't know where you at. You could be swimming to your grave. He says, wait till you finish turning and then look to the light. Then you swim. That, I believe that saved my life one time. And I said, well, what happened if it's midnight? He said, that's why you don't go swimming at night. But this is the thing. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. If you put your mind stayed on me, I will keep you in perfect peace. That means this. A lot of people having problems going to a psychologist because they can't keep their mind on God. They just swim. You don't even know you're going to a grave. Listen to what the GPS says in the Holy Spirit. You know what? I ain't gonna buy this purchase today. Why? It's unsettling. But we gotta do it today. You know, one of the things I know what Satan will try to do, he'll try to rush you before your time.
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah, thank you. You just expose yourself, Satan. Thank you for showing your hand. Because now I know I ain't gonna do that deal. I ain't gonna buy that car. I ain't gonna buy that house. I'm waiting for peace. Let the peace of God what? Rule and reign. And that's the pioneer that God wants you to have today. That even in the midst of adversity, let the peace of God rule and reign. If you don't have peace on it, have the courage to say no.
Yeah.
If you don't got peace on this situation, have the courage to say, I'm not going. Like Moses says, until I see that you are in this, and you know how it's going to look like? It's going to look like grace. It's going to lift you up, not tear you down. I heard one said, you know, outside of your family, if you look on your text messages and your mate, if the last five people you didn't text, are they bringing you up or down? Which is what they doing. I remember I had to make a decision. I've had to get rid of friends that, this is bringing me down. But guess what? Every time I replace that, or replace a job, or replace something, God always fills it up with something better. He will never leave you nor forsake you. But I want to go back to Egypt. No, Egypt is gone. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. And it starts with love now. Where it used to be where hate, I love you more than you love yourself. Let me kiss you. And let's start the new journey. I go out before you. And I'm taking your hand on the walk. down to the green pastures. So you can sip at the river and know that you can, and you can do what I've called you to do. And I love you. And that's the reason why I gave my life for you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Everybody close your eyes. And this is for everybody in this room today. I don't know where your state is. I don't know where your state of mind is. This is not a big hoorah message. This is a message of love and warning of this. Not warning of God gonna bring something to you, but it's time for us to be a pioneer of what God has called us to do. And some of us have been holding back. And it's time to release those things. If you need to release it at the altar, do so. If you need to release it in your heart, do so. But time is ticking away. We celebrate Memorial Day, and there's so many people the last 2 years that went on to the Lord. That should urge us to say, you know what, Lord? I don't want to wait another second to honor the people I want to honor today. I don't want to wait another second to apologize to who I need to apologize today. I'm done with pride. I'm done with this thing that swells up in my heart of bitterness when I think about this person. I give it to you, Jesus. And then the second call is for those who haven't received Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Listen, man. He loves you, and he gave his best for you. If everybody can say, Lord Jesus, I receive you in my heart. I give you my sins and my iniquities. And I believe in you, Jesus, that you died for me and you rose for me on that third day. You are my life. You are my shield. Everybody keep your eyes closed. If that was the very first time that you've ever said that, I just want you to raise your right hand. Amen. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see two hands. Amen. I want you to know that you look so beautiful to God. And he created you to let you know that you are not by yourself. That you got help, and he will be your help. Body of Christ, he will show you his own. It's time for you to go forth and do what you've been called to do. And the first thing is you acknowledging that God loves you and he created this moment. Those keys are playing for you. This message was for you. This building at this moment, at this time, was for you. So receive that right now in the name of Jesus. And let us all give a hand for the new souls that come into Christ today. Amen. Hallelujah. It's time to break out the pride. It's time to break out acting like we know it all. And it's time to yield to the King. Say, Lord, I'm not coming to you as a perfect man. The Bible says all, in my Hebrew Bible too, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means ain't one person getting hurt by that marriage, y'all. That's the trick of the enemy, to keep you distant, to keep you with the fig leaves so you won't come to the body. My brother Glenn preached a message that still circulates in my heart about the body and dismemberment. It's a head over here. It's an arm over here. It's dismantled. But when the body comes together, hallelujah, we will operate in our fullness of deity upon this earth. The world is mourning for us to rise up. That brother that I stopped from murdering, that whole industry said, I love you.
have you been all my life? The earth is mourning, the Bible says, for the children of God to awaken. Don't not awaken because somebody had a bad look on their face or had an attitude with you. Don't awaken because of spite, because of what your parents did. I could get stopped every day if I allow the enemy to stop me because I had a bad joint in my hip this morning. It's always going to be something. You got to do it in the midst of the fear. From the AIDS epidemic to the Y2K through the 2001, the planes went into business, from anthrax to the housing market crash to, it's always going to be something. The pandemic, now it's the gas, now it's this, now it's that. It's always going to be something. Now is the time to say, you know what? I will not bow down to fear anymore. I will arise in the midst of this turmoil. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Amen. Amen. Amen.